Perhaps one of the most frustrating questions ever asked to a professor is on the very first day of the semester when going through the syllabus, a student raises their hand and asks, "How long does this report, does this paper have to be?" It always bothered me as a teacher. I never could put my finger on it until I better understood the greatness of Avraham Avinu from this week's Parsha. Asar nisyonos nisnasa Avraham Avinu. Avraham was tested with 10 trials. V'omad bekulan. The Mishnah testifies that he was able to withstand them all. Most commentators state that the 10th final test, namely Akedas Yitzchak, that was the most difficult of them all. But why? Why was this test so challenging? Why was it even necessary to give him a 10th and final test? After all, Avraham was a man of tremendous bitachon and emuna. He clearly was willing to do anything that he would be told to do. Why then would anyone ever imagine that he would not pass the Akedat Yitzchak? Furthermore, whenever studying the Akedat Yitzchak, I always ask, what would happen if you were asked by God to do something, anything? Most certainly, you would do exactly as you're told to do. This being the case, why does this test of Akedas Yitzchak make Avraham so unique, so special? Wouldn't we all listen to God's command? To answer these questions, I believe we must study the very beginning words of the Akedas Yitzchak. Vayachar hadavarim o'ele, and it happened after these things, in which Rashi in a moment will point out what exactly is this after. Ve'elokim nisa es Avraham. Interestingly enough, here it says that Avraham was tested by God. Ve'elokim nisa es Avraham. But this is really the 10th test. Why does it only say that he was tested now, at this point? Weren't the other 9 sufficient and significant tests? Hashem turns to Avraham, and he says, "Hineni, I'm here." Vayomer, he says, "Kach noas bincha as yechidcha asher ahavtas Yitzchak. I want you to take your son, the one you love, to take Yitzchak v'lechocha el Eretz HaMoriah, that you should go to this specific place, to Eretz Moriah v'aleihu shem l'ola, and you shall take your child as an offering." The Talmud in Sanhedrin on Pei Tesmid Beis notices something unique, something special about this particular command that Hashem gives to Avraham. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Abba, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba says, "Ein na el lashon bakasha." Hashem doesn't say, "Kach es bincha," take your child, but he says it in a very nice way. Please, kach na es bincha. Why over here? Why is God saying please specifically when it comes to the Akedat Yitzchak? Is Hashem trying to show that he has manners? What's the difference? Just say, kach es bincha, take your son. What's the significance of him saying please? And Rashi continues and says that Hashem said, "Amud li bezeh hanisayon," please be successful in this particular test. "Shel yomru," so that people will not say, "Harishonos lo hayu behem mamish," that the first 9 tests, they had no mamish, no substance, as though they were nothing. What do you mean they were nothing? He went through so many different, terribly difficult tests, and And he passed all nine. So what if he misses out on the last one? Why would we say that the Rishonos Lo Haya Behem Mamish, just because he was not able to do the very difficult test of Yekidus Yitzchak? If we begin to understand what the word please means, its common meaning and significance, perhaps then we may better understand the greatness of what Yekidus Yitzchak really was. Imagine for a moment that you're busy baking a challah for Shabbos, and unfortunately you ran out with one of the key ingredients. You don't have any eggs. So you leave your kitchen and you go across the street to your neighbor's house. What do you say to your neighbor? Hey, give me some of your eggs. Of course not. First of all, speaking that way is rude and completely impolite. But really, saying give me, you're doing a whole lot more than just that. You're actually implying and inferring based on your words that they must give this to you. You are my servant. You're my slave. And therefore I'm telling you, go do this for me. But your neighbors don't have to do that. They don't have to listen to a word that you say. And therefore, the better choice of words, instead you say, please. Please may I have some eggs. Now adding that one word changes the meaning of everything. Because by saying please, you've now expressed to your neighbor that they do not have to do it. It's not a requirement. You'd like them to do it for you. You'd appreciate it. But really, they don't have to. Kach noas bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es yitzchak. Take, please, your child. See, the greatness of the Nisayon, of the Akedah, was not just taking the very life of his beloved son, but it was going through all those motions with the absolute realization that he wasn't even required to listen to Hashem and to take his son's life. We know this is true, because when it comes to the mitzvos, the Torah doesn't say, please put on tefillin. Please keep Shabbos. Please keep kosher. It's a tzivoy. It's a commandment. It's something which we have to do. But over here, ein na el lashon bakasha. Hashem is saying, I'd like you to do this, but you don't have to. Now, imagine for a moment, now you are Avraham Avinu. You can easily rationalize and say, listen, why would I want to take my son's life? After all, it's not something which is even a requirement for me to do. Hashem is not commanding Avraham to do it. Just like those eggs, he's only asking him to perform the Akedah, but only if he wishes to do so. And with that said, we can maybe then understand the very first Rashi about the Akedah, which is very difficult. Where Rashi asks, what does it mean by he achar devar me'ela? After what things? Says Rashi, Yesh Rabbo Seinu, Omrim, our rabbis of blessed memory, tell us that achar devar shel Satan, that the Satan went to Hashem and had a huge complaint, had a taina against Avraham. And he said, Mikol Sudna Shiasa Avraham, Lo Hikribu Fanacha Parachad O Ailechad. Avraham, you think he's such a great person, God? Look at these meals. He always has all these very beautiful, elegant meals, huge meals. And he never even gives you a single cow, not a ram. So in this, Hashem says, I'm going to test him with the Akedas Yitzchak. What's going on over here? How does the Akedas Yitzchak answer the question? And how could the Satan actually have a complaint against Avraham Avinu? Because at a meal, he doesn't give a cow. Who cares about a cow? Avraham's given his entire life. He threw his body into a kivshan ha'esh. He was willing to leave his family. He was willing to leave his homeland. He had his wife captured more than once. How could you say that, oh, who is this Avraham? He isn't given an animal. Who cares? What's exactly going on over here? What exactly is the complaint? And I believe what the Satan is saying is as follows. Avraham did every single test, but he only did them because he was required to. He does things according to the letter of the law, to the T. But when it comes to a Suda, when he's sitting down in the comfort of his own home, is he thinking about serving God? Is he thinking about doing things above and beyond that which he's required to do? He wouldn't even give you a par echad or an ayil echad. And on this Hashem says, no. I will say kachna. I'm going to tell him he doesn't even have to give his own son's life. But because of his love, he certainly will do even that. And it's clear from Abraham's actions thereafter, on the very next day, that he understands the message, the role of the Akedah. V'yashkim Abraham Baboker, that he gets up early in the morning, v'yachavosh es chamaro, and he saddles his own donkey. Why do we care about this small detail that he begins his mission by saddling a donkey? Maybe I should say that he took his driver's license and his car keys. Why do we need to know this? And on this, Rashi explains that this is abnormal behavior. Someone on a stature as great as Abraham would not be engaged in such a lowly task of saddling his own donkey. So Rashi says, why did he do so? She'ahava mikalkelas ashura. Because love, as we know, makes us do the craziest of things. Love makes us do things we typically wouldn't do. And therefore, it's here, and only here, that Abraham shows his love to God. But why now? Why is his love finally emphasized and only pointed out when he saddles a donkey? It's because Abraham did not need to saddle that donkey. But he did so and went above and beyond because of his love to Hashem. That shows love. When you do something above and beyond that which you're required to do. And he understood that that was the whole purpose of this entire test. And therefore, Abraham went beyond that which he was required to do because he understood the essence of the test. That he was not only to do the bare minimum. The tenth and final test of Akedas Yitzchak was to strive for more. And therefore, I can now understand that student who sheepishly raises their hand. That student will do exactly as they're required to do, but absolutely not one single paragraph more. And we know employees that will do nothing more than that which is specifically stipulated in their contract. Or the Jew, who performs every single mitzvah to the T, but will never in a million years do any more than exactly what they're required to do. But by doing exactly your requirement, shows not a whole lot of love. You're not exhibiting love or passion for what you're doing. You're just getting by. But when Abraham saddles his own donkey, this is the time when he shows true Ahavas Hashem. And when Abraham passes the optional test of Akedas Yitzchak, then and only then do we see the pasuk that says, Ata yadati, now I know ki yor elokim ata. Now he's God-fearing. He was never God-fearing before. It's because up until this point, maybe Abraham only did it because he felt obligated and responsible to do so. But now we see his true MO, his true motivation and enthusiasm, love and passion is to serve God. And how important is this message? We come to shul, we daven, but are we just going through the motions, lip service, putting forth the minimal effort, and just getting by? Maybe we can go above and beyond in our tefillah. We learn Torah, but are we doing the very minimum? Can't we strive for a little bit more? We also give tzedakah, we give charity, but are we contributing the bare minimum? When we stretch ourselves, we then will emulate our avos. We will act similar to Avraham Avinu in his approach to Avodas Hashem, in his approach to life. To maximize our potential and to go above and beyond. And if I sound as though I am a bit too demanding, then let me conclude by at least saying, please. Good Shabbos.